It's fun to be a new cyclist. It's fun to try something new. It's fun to prove to yourself that you are capable. You've just got to be willing to try. Hey, hurdlers, Emily Abadi bringing you another installment of Hurdle Moment from Hurdle. This week, I am chatting to you all about the lessons I learned in my first 3 months as an avid cyclist. I've been getting tons of DMs as I've been posting more and more bike-filled content on my Instagram, and so I'm bringing it to the feed to answer some of the questions that I have been seeing on the regular. I thought about bringing some big guns, so to speak, in for this episode, maybe a pro cyclist, someone that's been doing this for a long time, but really at the end of the day, I think sometimes the best thing for other beginners is to hear someone who recently went through it themselves to explain it to them in a way that makes sense. And it might not be the most technical. I am by no means a cycling expert, but I hope that the insight that I can bring you today is helpful and appreciated. Before we get into today's episode, I do want to explain the circumstances around how I got into cycling. I mentioned a few months back dealing with some hip wonkiness, and that ended up being what we think is, diagnosed over Zoom, of course, some piriformis tendinosis. So to work on that, I was doing a ton of banded exercises, and I was also taking some time off of running, which during a pandemic, I am in my apartment alone. I'm spending most of my time alone. I'm just like, a little frustrated with my body and looking for an outlet. And I was having a conversation with my girlfriend who works at Specialized. And she said to me, "Do you think now is the time for you to finally get on a bike?" And you know what? I had been hesitant for some time. I had a bike previously in my apartment. I got a Cannondale in 2015 when I was gearing up for the New York City Triathlon. Since then, just because of the space available in this apartment, I had sent the bike back home to Connecticut with my dad. And so when this offer kind of came on the table from Specialized to try and get back on the bike, to try a bike, I kind of threw my hands up in the air and I said, why not? So basically with the team at Specialized, I talked to them about what it was that I was looking for. I was looking for a road bike, and soon in this episode, I'll break down the different types, but I wanted a road bike that was good for activity, that was lightweight, because again, I needed to be able to carry it up the stairs to my apartment. And other than that, I just filled them in on some basics like my height, and that was it. The bike was ordered to a bike shop that was local to my area. I went to pick it up with a mask and gloves. I got fit for the bike. We adjusted the seat height, and just like that, I was ready to go. The bike I own at home is a Specialized Roubaix. I think that's how you say it. And back at home in Connecticut, I have a Cannondale Synapse. So that's my why. That's why I got into biking. Since starting with this bike a few months ago, I have had the opportunity to go all over New York City. And now, as of this week, also across the GW over into New Jersey and up a popular cycling destination called River Road. And I'll share some insight about what that's been like cycling in an urban environment, some best tips I have for that, as well as some of the biggest mistakes I've made in the past few months on the road. If you have any more questions surrounding the subject that I don't cover today, of course, feel free to reach out to me over on social media. It's at Emily Abadi and at Hurdle Podcast. And if you want to take it to email, be my guest. It is emily@hurdle.us. And with that, it's time to talk bikes. Let's get to hurdling. I've always loved running because it feels really meditative, right? It's like this experience where you're on the road, you're just plugging one foot after the other, and you can get lost in that cadence, in that pace. And it's so, so needed for me and so, so relaxing. But the thing about cycling is I almost feel like it takes that experience to another level. It's a no impact sport, which means that it can be really great for anyone who is dealing with some wonkiness in their body to keep moving without all of that extra force on your joints. I really do feel like it's super meditative and something that's been really necessary for me during this time. So again, for today's episode, I am talking you through the lessons that I've learned in my first few months of biking, the biggest lessons I think all beginner cyclists should know. The first lesson, there are a lot of things that go into choosing the right bike for you. There are a lot of things that go into this. And if you've ever just Googled bicycles, like you're probably obscenely overwhelmed just at all of the choices that you see online. So here's the thing. The first thing you've got to ask yourself is, where are you going to ride? Now, if it's going to be mostly on pavement, then you're looking for what is commonly called a road or a fitness bike. The catch is that some road bikes are called cruisers, and those are like the bikes that you would ride down at the beach. They've got a big padded seat. As you can imagine, that's not the thing that you want to be riding for fitness if you're going to take it to do laps around a local park. There are other bike types, of course. There are more technical models like mountain bikes and gravel bikes for trails. And if you're commuting, you may want something that's called a city bike or an electric pedal assist or e-bike, depending on how far you're going and really what you're using it for. Now, there are a couple different frames, or what you would call the main structure of the bike itself. And these frames can be made of metal like aluminum or carbon fiber on more expensive models. Now, the reason that people would lean into a carbon fiber bike over a metal frame bike is that the carbon fiber bikes are lighter, which means that if you're going to be doing a lot of climbing, which is a fancy biking word for going up hills, then the lighter the bike, the easier it's going to be to move up the hill. That also means the faster it's going to go down hills. It also means, again, in my case, keeping it in a fourth floor apartment, having a carbon fiber bike was really important to me because then I was going to be able to easily lift it up the stairs. Next thing you might think about on your bike, your handlebars. Now, they mostly fall into one of two categories. There are drop bars or upright bars. Drop bars are basically fitted to bikes that are intended to go fast or for long distances. They have the multiple different positioning options for your hands, and they also look like a little C curve at the front. These are the kind of handlebars that often you'll see when you go to a spin studio. Otherwise, a bike will be equipped with what is called upright bars, which can be either like a straight across bar or handlebars that go up a little bit, as the name entails. When it comes to tires, I just learned this about my bike the other day, and I've had it for 3 months, which just shows how much faith I am putting into the universe that I'm going to be okay out there. You either have a tubeless tire or a tire with a tube. Now, the tubeless tire is literally just a tire and the air goes directly inside of it. A tubed tire has the external tire, then it has a tube inside of the tire. So when you get a flat, which can happen for a number of reasons, but for example, I got one because I rode over a small piece of glass, which punctured not only just the external tire, but also the tube inside. When you get a flat and you have a tire with a tube in it, you need to replace the inner tube and inflate the inner tube, and then you're good to go. You don't need to put a sealant on the outer tire. From what I understand, most people ride with bikes that have tubes in the tires. From my understanding, you want to have a tire with tubes. It's easier to change if you were to get a flat when you're on the move. But again, I'm not a pro here. I'm not claiming to be a pro here. I'm just spreading the knowledge as I get it. The last thing to note, I said this before, that I gave my friends at Specialized my height. Bikes do come in different sizes, and I'll make sure to link to a couple of the helpful size charts in the show notes that I found. But this is primarily based on your height. So you'll be able to adjust the seat height once you get your bicycle, but it's important that you're buying a frame that caters to your personal dimensions. Now, in terms of price, bikes can be pretty expensive. Sure, you can get one for $300, $400, $500, but a really great bike is probably going to be a little bit more expensive. And I compare this to when you may be investing in sneakers. I know I remember when I first started buying sneakers, it was a hard thing to wrap my head around the idea that I had to spend $130 on like this Goldilocks shoe. But the thing is, it's like you're making an investment in the thing that's going to help you do the thing that you love. So if you can spend, say, $1,500 on a bicycle, yes, that is a chunk of change. That is something that's going to require you to put money aside for maybe months at a time before you're ready to make this purchase. But once you have this bicycle, think about how much joy you'll get and like the cost per ride. For instance, in June alone, I've ridden my bike over 300 miles. If I bought a $1,500 bicycle, that's $5 a mile. And please, I mean, that's only June. So if you think about that over time, 300 miles a month, 900 miles so far, like I am really getting my money's worth and I expect to be riding this bike for a long, long time. So those are just some of the things you need to know when it comes to how to choose the bike you want. The second lesson, there are many places that you can purchase your bicycle. You will be able to buy a bike from a few different locations. First up, you can buy it straight from the dealer online. So if you go to a website like specialized.com, if the bike is in stock, you can order it straight from there. The next option would be buying it from a local bike shop. Now, the good thing about going to buy a bike at a local bike shop is that just like if you were going to buy a car at the car dealership, you can go to the local bike shop and test some different models. If you're going to go do that, make sure you show up ready to get on the bike. You want to make sure that you're wearing comfortable clothing and sneakers. The last place you can buy your bike would likely be secondhand. So whether you're buying it from a place like eBay or Craigslist, the catch with this is that whereas a place like a bike shop or a dealer could have a really great refund or return policy, you're not going to get that same courtesy when it comes to a secondhand option. This brings me to lesson number three. I talked about bringing your sneakers to trying on a bicycle. If you're buying a performance bicycle, it's more than likely that it is going to be clipless. Now, okay, I know this sounds super doesn't make sense because you were technically clipping in to the bike with cycling shoes. Basically, there are two types of pedals. There are flat pedals, which are literally the pedals that you can use your regular pair of Nikes on and bike around and go down the street and go to the beach and do whatever. And then there are the clipless pedals. This requires you to have a specific pair of cycling shoes with cleats on them. I get so many messages from people asking me, how did you learn to clip in? How do I do it? I'm so scared. Listen, I get it. I've been there. I have a confession. I've only fallen on a clipped-in bicycle once. It was shortly after I got the Cannondale in 2015. I was in Central Park. I was going, thankfully, quite slow to cross the street, and I went to get off and clip out of the bicycle and literally tipped over, and I survived, and I'm here talking into this microphone right now. Is it like a no-brainer thing? Not necessarily, but it's a skill that you can learn and you can do well. For those of you that have never clipped into a bicycle before, literally your feet clip into the pedals. It's as if you are one with the bike. And the benefit to this is that you can produce a ton more power. Going over a bridge on a bike where you're clipped in versus a bike where you're just on the flat pedals is a completely different experience because not only now do you have the power to push down, but as you are clipped in, you can use your hamstrings and gain some more momentum on the upswing to bring that force back down, if that makes any sense at all. For people that are new to clipping in, I would definitely suggest, just like when you're going to learn how to drive a car in the parking lot, learn to clip in near your home in a place that is safe and not filled with cars and that you can literally just have some room to breathe. Again, it might feel scary and that's okay, but even something like standing with one foot on the ground and just simply learning how to clip your foot in and out and in and out. Things like that take time, but that practice will make you better in the long run. Lesson number four, riding in urban areas is completely different than riding in suburban areas or on the trail. It definitely takes some time getting used to being around traffic and around cars. I really, really try to keep most of my riding to streets that have bike lanes. And the good thing about a site like Google Maps is oftentimes if you're charting a bicycle ride, it will chart your ride on streets that have bike lanes. On the safety front, you always want to make sure that you have a lot of room between you and other vehicles, as well as you and other cyclists. The more room that you give yourself, the more room you have if something were to go a little bit wrong, as if you were to maybe hit a bump in the road, literally. It can be tempting in the city to do things like a light turns red and you're like, I still have a little bit of time and go through that. Or when you get comfortable, like riding in the actual road. And really the best advice that I can give to new riders is follow the traffic laws. Just as if you were in your car, it is important for your own safety that you follow the lay of the land. My favorite rides are the ones that are done early enough where there aren't a ton of cars on the road, especially early on a Sunday morning. It's my new favorite recovery activity. So you've got to find a place to ride where you feel confident in your circumstance. The last thing you want to do, again, I'm talking about how biking is such a meditative opportunity. The last thing that you want to do is stress out the entire time you're on your bicycle. Something important to note here as well, nothing makes me more frustrated than being on a bicycle and trying to tell another cyclist that I'm coming up on their left and they are too busy wearing headphones to be able to pay attention to what's going on around you. You need to be able to hear your surroundings. So it's one thing to go on a run with some headphones. I would say it's a completely other thing to be wearing them on the bike. It is not a safe thing to have two headphones in while you are riding on two wheels. So please do not do it. Lesson number five, gear up the right way on the bike. Now, I got a DM that was asking me how not to look like a total loser. And I think the thing is that if you're going to be a cyclist, you kind of need to accept that the look is a look, right? From the jersey, the padded bike shorts, the calf height socks, like it all goes in with the fact that you're on a bike. So like embrace the mood, embrace the vibe. I mentioned padded shorts. That is super important. I hadn't owned any in a few years and I tried to get on my bike the first few times without them. And let me tell you, I didn't make it far, especially performance bikes. They don't have the biggest saddle. You're trying to be aerodynamic and move fast. So you're gonna need padded bike shorts if you're going, I would say, maybe rides over 45 minutes. It might feel a little bit like you're wearing an adult diaper, but I promise to everybody else, you don't look crazy and you will be so, so, so thankful for the added support when you're out there and enjoying yourself instead of thinking that, oh my God, I can't wait to get off this thing. I'm so uncomfortable. All that stuff. Also, when it comes to gearing up smart, you're going to want, again, that cycling jersey. It's a t-shirt basically that zips up and oftentimes comes with a lot of conveniently placed pockets to put things like nutrition or your cell phone. Something else to mention, a helmet. Of course, do not think you are too cool for a helmet. You are not. That's just it. I have a couple options myself. I have one old helmet, a collaboration between Specialized and Lululemon that I love. I also have another more casual helmet from Thousand, which is just like the sleek matte black, and I am equally as obsessed with it. Oh, before I move on to lesson number six, I do want to quickly note there are a ton of places you can buy cycling gear. Some of it, of course, will be more expensive than others. Again, this kind of follows my philosophy of think of how much use you're going to be getting out of this stuff. I have one pair of Lululemon bike shorts that I'm wearing more than nearly anything else. They were on the pricey side. I think I'm guessing $120. And for me, it was worth the splurge. They have everything that I was looking for in a cycling short, a ton of different pockets, zippers, a really great fit. They are my Goldilocks pair, and I'll link to them in the show notes. Some other brands I've really been digging. Specialized obviously has great bike clothing. Machines for Freedom, another great brand. Outdoor Voices just launched a collaboration with Rafa. Pricey, but excellent brand. So tons of options out there. Lesson number six. Bring fuel with you on the bike. One of the biggest differences between cycling and running is with running, like you're sweating pretty quickly, right? And that might not be the case with cycling, but especially as it is hot out there, you need to remember that if you're going to be out there for a while, you're gonna need fuel. So I'm leaning into a lot of the same choices that I would take with me on the run. I love, love, love the Gatorade Endurance shoes, the Cliff Block gummies. I also find that I'm looking for something a little bit saltier when I'm riding. So sometimes I'll bring actual Cliff bars with me. And then of course, water, water, water. A lot of bikes don't come standard with water bottle cages on them. So it's really important that you buy these like right when you buy your bicycle. They're super easy to install. The two that I have on my bike are from a company called Blackburn. Super, super important for you to have that water with you on the go. I know with running, you know, you might fuel every 3 or 4 miles or 30 minutes. When it comes to biking, I don't have a strict strategy like that. I feel like about every hour or so, I'm kind of reaching for something new. on the hot days, again, super, super important that you're drinking before you're thirsty. You want to stay hydrated. Just the other day when I crossed the GW and went up River Road, I was dripping sweat. I don't think I've ever drank water so fast on the bike. Also, on the fuel note, you're probably thinking, how am I going to carry all this stuff? Like I said, there are going to be pockets in a lot of cycling jerseys, but also they make really convenient bags that can Velcro and attach to the bike that can either go near the handlebars or under the seat, where you can stash all of your stuff. Which brings me to lesson number 7, the things that you should bring with you on the road. Of course, like I said, the nutrition, but also in the event that you do get a flat tire, you're going to want to have everything you need with you to change said flat tire. So I got a flat tire, as I mentioned, and when I did, I had with me an extra spare tube, a CO2 cartridge that would be like putting air into the tire, and pliers to get the tire off of the wheel. But what I did not have was a multi-tool, which is essentially like a screwdriver that looks like a Swiss Army knife. And that is what you need to take the wheel actually off of the bicycle. So because I didn't have that multi-tool with me, I couldn't change the tire by myself, which meant I had to take it into a bike shop. And $15 later, I was out of there and everything was fine. So on the bike, again, you want to have the things that you need to change a flat if you were to get one. And I know that's like a really scary thing to say. I'm not going to lie. I don't know how to do it right now. I know that everyone tells me you do it with practice. And so that's why I have everything I need on me. I always carry my cell phone when I ride, and I'm told that YouTube is priceless. So again, here I am just kind of rolling with God. Also carrying with you, I have 2 lights I bought off of Amazon on the front and the back of my bicycle. If I'm ever riding home a little bit too late, that's super important. I don't think I really realized how difficult it would be to ride a bike at night, thinking that the New York City streets were lit up enough. I rode home at around 8:30, just as the sun went down a few weeks back, and immediately walked inside and bought these lights off of Amazon. So it's really important that you can see where you're going, not just the street ahead, but of course the potholes or whatever other things are in the road. Again, your safety is the number one priority while you're on the bicycle. And the last thing I learned in the past few months of riding is that it's really fun to be a beginner again. Listen, there are a lot of scary parts about this, right? It's scary not to know exactly how to change a flat. It's scary clipping in all the time. It's scary to try to climb a hill. It's scary when I worry about the tan lines that these cycling shorts and this jersey are going to give me. There's a lot of scary things happening here. But the thing is like, what a fun opportunity it is to learn. I can honestly say that this is one of the most fun hobbies that I've picked up in some time. I'm already starting to get exposed to the cycling community here in New York, which seems to be pretty rad. And it's really special to have that opportunity to be a beginner, to try something new, to put yourself out there. It's fun to learn lessons. It's fun to be reminded that there are things that we can do outside of our normal routine to expand our horizons. It feels really accomplished and just stellar to like show myself day in and day out that I am capable of trying new things. And I know that if you're still listening to this part of the episode, you feel the same way. As always, at Hurdle Podcast, at Emily Abadi, another hurdle conquered. Catch you guys next time.